Hello. Welcome to I Am Wisdom with your host, Katrina Cavanaugh. I Am Wisdom is all about the connection between mind work and energy work, spirituality, and finding easy, everyday ways to heal your life. Katrina Cavanaugh is a qualified therapist and one of Australia's leading intuitives and spirituality coaches. Katrina will be taking your calls and bringing you some special guests. Settle in, relax, and enjoy the healing on I Am Wisdom with Katrina Cavanaugh on Om Times Radio.
Hello, hello everyone. It's Katrina Cavanaugh here. You're listening to I Am Wisdom here on Om Times Radio. I'm talking to you today, as usual, every week, all the way from Australia, and I am really excited today to have a very special guest. Today we're going to be sharing time with a medium by the name of Cindy Kazza, and we'll be giving her website details absolutely several times throughout our interview today. But if you want to jump online and look her up while we're talking, you need to go to www.mediumcindykazza. So that's medium, K-A-Z-A.com. And I'm going to say that again, www.mediumcindykazza.com. And Cindy is living right now in the beautiful place that is Nashville, and I'm very excited to be talking to her. Before I bring her onto the show and introduce her, I want to say to you, how are you? How was your week? Now, it always shocks me that I don't get, you know, everyone answering me back and I'm speaking into the big silence. I hope your week has been beautiful. I hope your week has been full of all the things that are absolutely there to nurture you. That's what my greatest wish for people is they feel completely nurtured as they move about their everyday. I've had a phenomenal time. In between my last show and now, I had the wonderful experience of another one of my events and had the privilege to be present in a room full of 100 people. And set the intention to be of service and, you know, really work with the people that I had there to, and of course my spiritual team, to make connections with the non-physical world or our loved ones in spirit, as well as, you know, bring through information and predictions essentially for people moving forward in their life. And it was a profound experience. As I always say to everyone, I never really know what information I'll be receiving. I don't even know if I'm going to be receiving information, because in truth, you're not really aware of whether you receive the information until it's absolutely there in your awareness. So it's an absolutely amazing journey to do that, an amazing experience to do that work. And I'll be talking more to Cindy about that soon. But it's just such a privilege. The feeling that I felt after being in a room full of 100 people, where my whole purpose was to absolutely do all I could to bring healing and understanding and comfort to those that were in the room. It meant the world to me to have that opportunity, and I just felt so grateful. So that's been my week. And as I hope everyone's enjoying the big lead up to Christmas, December can be, as a therapist, I know that December can be a really tricky month, because it can be a month where there's a great amount of pressure placed financially on families and on individuals, and pressure emotionally, because as we move into the festive season, what I know for sure is that anything that is not good in your life is magnified, just as much as everything that is good in your life is magnified as well. So what that means is that our feelings become bigger. And, you know, whether it's a feeling of joy and happiness and contentment that becomes better, well, that's wonderful. Or, you know, it may be a feeling of grief or a feeling of stress that's come from trauma. It may be a feeling of sadness or depression or anxiety. Whatever it is, this is the time of the year that, you know, it can become magnified. So what I ask my people to do that I'm here in being of service to is to really reach out to those who can help you, the people who can be effective in helping you. So it may or may not be your family and friends. You know, family and friends can be wonderful, but they can also be very difficult. But it's important for you to find the key people that can be supportive. So it may be a therapist, it might be a social worker, it might be a psychologist, it might be someone in your church, it could just whoever it is that can really, from a very authentic place, be of service to you. They're the kind of people that I wish for you to be in contact with. So I just wanted to recognize that. And I guess the second thing is to say, please go gently. Go gently into the month of December. And absolutely do all you can to nurture your mind and your body and your soul as you move through the days that represent the festive season. So, but without any further chitty-chatty, let me get on to tell you about Cindy Kazza, my very, very special guest here today. So Cindy Kazza is, as I said, a current resident of Nashville. She's a clairvoyant or a clear seeing. She's clairaudient, clear hearing, and clairsentient, clear feeling. And she works across the country as an evidential medium. And we're going to get some clarity on what that actually means during the show. So as an evidential medium, she has been extremely intuitive since a very early stage of her life, since early childhood. And then at the age of 10, she had her first memorable experience with a spirit. And then days after losing a childhood friend in a fatal car accident, Cindy woke up in the middle of the night to see her friend standing next to her bed. I guess maybe how frightening, but how beautiful at the same time. So at the time she dismissed, she dismissed this experience and convinced herself that it was just a dream. And then it wasn't until much later in her early 20s that she realized that she was actually having psychic and mediumistic experiences all along. So I'm going to say welcome Cindy to the show. Are you there, Cindy? How are you?
I'm here. Thanks. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you. Look, thank you so much for coming. I'm just going to jump straight into it. There's so many things that I want to talk to you about. So just to begin with, you know, when you use the words, when you describe yourself as an evidential medium, or that you're the way you work with, you know, spirit world is through evidential mediumship, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so evidential mediumship, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory in the sense that, you know, I strive to bring forth really strong evidence when giving a message to somebody that I'm doing a reading for. And I've studied evidential mediumship with the spiritualist mediums that, you know, from the Arthur Findlay College, from Lily Dale, it's a style of mediumship practiced in the spiritualist church. So really, it's just is based so strongly on getting that really, really concrete evidence. And also it's, you know, really to help diminish skepticism, because there's so many skeptics out there, you know? And so vagueness is really not accepted in evidential mediumship. And also it really pushes the medium to not allow the sitter or the person you're reading for to feed the medium and tell a lot of the evidence back to the medium. So a lot of times when I'm doing my work on stage or in a private reading, I say, you know, you simply say yes or no if you understand what I'm saying. So I'll give a piece of evidence and say, do you understand? And if they say no, then I'll go back and see where I've possibly misinterpreted, or I'll go deeper into that until I turn a no into a yes. So it's very, very good in learning mediumship and having structured mediumship and just understanding how the evidence comes through and what to do with it, you know?
I really do like that way of working. And that is the exact way I work as well. Because what I know for sure, and that's, I guess, coming from the perspective as also being a, you know, trained and qualified therapist over the last 22 years, what I know from that is that when people are grieving, it's not that helpful to have the wishy-washy, you know, because it just adds to the complexity of what they're experiencing. You know, there's enough to be dealing with. It's like when you're grieving, there's enough emotion to be dealing with, let alone adding in maybe or maybe not, did I have that connection with my loved one in spirit? So it's imperative. And what I know for sure is that the healing, as you would know, the healing that can come when the person can absolutely trust that you have that connection with their loved one in spirit, it's profound.
Right. Absolutely.
Yes. So the importance of being able to give information that there's no way that you could have known. And I'm in agreement with you. I say to people all the time, please just say yes or no. And if it's a no, then let me find out what it is I've misunderstood, basically, because as you appreciate, it's, you know, it's a tricky thing. It's tricky communicating from a physical person to a physical person, let alone, you know, into the spirit world as well. So what do you love best about this work for you?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, there's so many things that I love about it, but I think really what it boils down to is I love that I've been given the opportunity to help people heal, because that's really what this work is supposed to be about, you know? Mm-hmm. And also to show people that life after death does exist, and that all things are healed on the other side. I mean, you know, so many of us lose loved ones in this lifetime where there's been a lot of, you know, things left unsaid, or feelings that I wish I had said that, I wish I had done that, I wish I hadn't had that argument. And to be able to bring somebody's loved one through and give good evidence and say, hey, you know, I know you had a fight with your husband before he died, but he's telling me it's no big deal, don't worry about it, you know? Mm-hmm. That's some of the most healing stuff. And so, I mean, I love a lot of aspects. I'm always amazed by mediumship. I'm not amazed by myself. That's not what I mean. But just the fact that even sometimes I'm like, wow, I can't believe that this is, it's always working. You know, they're always there. They're always there, you know?
Mm. That feeling of, to me, I mean, you're saying you're not amazed by yourself. I still am amazed. Every single time, whether, and we know, obviously both of us have been doing this for a lot of time, but still for me, every single time I open my mouth and repeat or give the information that I'm receiving and the person says yes to me, even after all the years and, you know, the thousands of times that that's happened, I still am in awe of the process. It's like, oh, okay, wow. Because it just, I'm absolutely mesmerized by it. Can you explain for you, Cindy, to our beautiful listeners, how your gift works and how you actually do connect with those on the other side? Because everyone has a bit of a different way. So how do you work?
Well, I mean, I think I probably work similarly to you, but you know, I open myself up and I basically say, okay, I'm ready to work. You know, I don't walk around with my abilities on all the time, but then I just allow whatever comes in to come in. And I've learned over the years to not second guess what's coming in, to just simply say what's coming in. So sometimes I feel it first, sometimes I hear it, sometimes I see it. Sometimes I don't know. It just all hits me at the same time. So,
okay. Sorry, Cindy. I'm so sorry. We're going to a break. And I want to hear exactly more of what you're saying after the break. Sorry about that. Stay with me.
The cutting edge of conscious radio. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
If you remember living fearlessly, joyfully, and in a world filled with adventure, happiness, pleasure, and unbridled living, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, as I bring you the world's top experts in wealth, creativity, flow, sea edging technology, space, wellness, health, love, lust, and passion, all merging together each week here at the Hub of Happiness. Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Passionate Living, where you can ride on the magic carpet ride of living and learn how to lead a passionately wild, exciting, and outrageously amazing life.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to I Am Wisdom here on OM Times Radio, and I'm Katrina Kavanagh here with you. And today we're talking to a really, really special guest, Cindy Kazza, who is a clairvoyant and clairaudient and clairsentient medium who is currently on tour in the US of A. So I'll be giving you those tour dates. If you're wanting to connect with Cindy and also find out any information about her tour and about her work, then you need to hop along to her website, which is www.mediumcindykazza.com, and that's medium, CindyKazza.com. So please hop along, go along to her website, and you'll find more about her. So, Cindy, where we were just before the break, and these breaks, they sneak up on you when you're having these great conversations. Where we were before the break, we were just talking about how you make that connection, and you were saying, you know, you relax and you open up and you begin to receive the messages that you're not someone who's always on, I get that, me too. You make the decision to be open and therefore you're open. And then you start receiving through your body. So where were we? What were you saying?
Oh, so what I was saying was, you know, when I open myself up and I'm ready to work, I just allow the information to come through in whichever way at that moment it's coming through. And sometimes it does first come through as clairvoyance or I'm seeing a picture. Sometimes it's the clairsentience where I'm really feeling more. And sometimes it's clairaudience. But ultimately, I really believe that everything stems from the clairsentience, the feeling. The feeling center is really, really important. So, you know, sometimes I'm not aware which comes in first and they hit me all simultaneously. But over the years, I've learned to stop trying to figure out which way it's coming first and to just simply just start working and say what I'm receiving. Yes. So yes. That's definitely been a process for me. But that's what happens. Yeah.
That's what happens. It sounds wonderful and very familiar, very familiar. So one of the things, when we were talking just before we got on the show, you were telling me about some wonderful work that you're doing in Indonesia. And this is a really unique project, I believe. And I'm going to get you to tell us more about that in a minute. But from our conversation, you were talking about your interest in mediumship across different cultures and different religions. And I find this particularly interesting because I was raised in a very unique family in that we were all considered to be Christian. So we're all, you know, raised in the church, you know, going to school, a Sunday school and church on a Sunday. Yet at the same time, there was this theme of clairvoyance and mediumship occurring in the family. Okay, so I have an aunt who's still on the planet with us now, and she was heavily involved in the Anglican Church, Anglican faith, yet she's a very, very strong clairvoyant. I speak about her in my book. And then I have my grandfather, who was extremely involved in the church but used to go home and read the cards.
Yeah.
Okay, and not the tarot, but the playing cards, the 7-Up cards. And then again, I have his mother, my great grandmother, was married to a Methodist minister, so he a man of the church, and she used to read the tea leaves at the church fete.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So, yeah. So what happened for me is that I grew up in this amazing experience of certainly being a Christian, I guess, because with the human beings, we like to categorize things. And so I was certainly raised a Christian in the church, but at the same time I had my spiritual experiences, and there was an openness between those people and me. Now, certainly those people weren't necessarily open as I am. I mean, gosh, you know, with my experience now, I'm kind of completely out of the wardrobe or the closet or whatever part of the furniture you're meant to be in when you're not out. I'm certainly out of there now. You know, we're doing the media stuff that I do here in Australia and more and more overseas. But, you know, none of my family were. They kept to themselves and it just was something they all did on the side and, you know, didn't necessarily broadcast it amongst even other members of the family. But it still was a presence in my life, you know. So I guess when we begin a conversation about the capacity for two seemingly opposing concepts sitting side by side in someone's life or in their belief system, that's a very familiar space for me. And yeah. I'm very, very comfortable with that space. And I quite frankly don't get how those two things don't go together. It amuses me. But so can you tell the listeners about this amazing work you're doing in Indonesia
Yeah. So, you know, I've gone to Indonesia. I'm actually going back on December 11th. It'll be my fifth time going to this tiny island called Batam, which is somewhere, it's not a tourist destination really at all. I happened to go there with a friend whose parents lived there, and I absolutely fell in love with Batam, Indonesia. So my first trip there, I met this spiritual consultant. So he is a medium, but he does not really, because he's Muslim, Indonesia is predominantly Muslim, he's not allowed to call himself a medium, so he calls himself a spiritual consultant.
Yes.
And his abilities completely blew my mind. His ability to manipulate energy, I just had never seen anything like it, and it just really opened the floodgates to me, like, what is going on? I mean, this is so fascinating. And so now I've gone back, and each time I go, I film a little bit more, and I get into the culture more, because Indonesia, the culture is Islam, mostly, mm-hmm. you know, in Batam. And so I just became fascinated in how these, you know, mediums or spiritual consultants are able to do their work while operating in the boundaries of Islam. And so mediumship to them, so they think in Islam there's something called jinn or genies is the, you know, the word that we use. But they don't believe that humans can communicate with the people who have passed away. They think that we're being influenced by jinn. It's similar to in Christianity when, you know, the Christians believe that mediums cannot communicate with deceased loved ones. We're actually communicating with fallen angels, right?
Yes.
Psychic ability is okay. So, you know, a lot of people go to these spiritual consultants and they do energy healing and they talk about future, past, present, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be accepted. So really the line is kind of drawn with the mediumship. But I believe it all comes from the same source. So I think with psychic ability, although, you know, a lot of people say all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums. I think we as mediums, as psychic mediums, have to actually be careful with that use of wording, because sometimes we'll receive psychic information that we perceive as being psychic that's actually coming from somebody on the other side.
Yes.
So I think it's hard to always tell where are we getting it? Is it truly just psychic, or is it a spirit person coming in and giving us the evidence? So it's just mm-hmm. fascinates me how we all, and even me, I'm a Christian, you know, and it is dogmatically challenging sometimes, because I know in the Bible and in Deuteronomy and Samuel and Leviticus, I mean, it says it a million times, people should not communicate with spirits, but I don't believe God would have given all of us this ability, and if we're using it to help people and we're handing it over to God and saying, you know, this is not from me, correct. Then how is that not operating within God's work, you know? And a lot of people are afraid to talk about God in this community too, which baffles me, you know? So I just am on this quest, and I still have a lot to learn, but I really believe mediumship exists across all cultures, across all religions, and even in the Pentecostal church when people do talk in tongues. You know, I think people don't realize that the word medium, a lot of people don't realize the definition of medium is somebody who's able to be the intermediary between this world and another dimension. Mm. So if people are speaking in tongues, they're, you know, they believe they're channeling the Holy Spirit and they're speaking in tongues. That's actually in that moment, they are acting as mediums.
Yes, they are. Yes, that's correct.
So, and that's acceptable in the Pentecostal church. So, you know, there's a lot of, I think really sometimes it just boils down to semantics. And I think my mission is to kind of get rid of all of that, you know, all the wording and how, you know, speaking in tongues is okay and certain things are okay, but calling it mediumship is not okay. But really it's all mediumship, you know. And
so what you're saying is that through, you know, and it's true, through indigenous cultures and through even in modern culture, and additionally to that, you know, the spiritual religious practice, what we're all doing really is making connections between what I call the physical and the non-physical world, you know.
Right.
And so that's essentially what's happening, whether we're referring to angels, as they do refer to that in the Bible. You know, in my book I share one story where I was at the hospital and working in the ER, because that's part of my story is, you know, I was working as a social worker in the hospital in ER for years and used to be also spiritually aware of what was going for that person who just passed away tragically. And I was in an ER situation with a young man that had died as a result of suicide. He'd taken his own life. And the priest was there, and the priest was praying. And as he was praying, he was calling on the energy he didn't call it the energy of Jesus, but he's calling on Jesus to come and really bring support to this young man and to the family. And, of course, what I could see intuitively was the energy of Jesus turning up and being very present. And I wrote about this in the book. And for me, that just, you know, and I work with Jesus all the time, or the energy of Jesus, or, you know, the sentiment of Jesus.
It's like consciousness, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, all the time. And so it all just makes sense to me. You know, it just all feels, of course, and naturally, and how can we ever, why are we struggling? And we're struggling because of personality and control and needing to categorize things to feel safe. It's all about keeping ourselves feeling safe and sticking to what we know and all of that. I understand why that struggle's there, and there's nothing wrong with that. And one of the things that I talk to people about all the time is that I do believe it's possible, and which is beyond our mind's capacity to conceptualize this, I do believe that it's possible to have two very opposing beliefs to coexist at the same time. And it's okay. And from the universe or God or source or whatever energy you want to call that, from the perspective of universe or God, there is no distress about that. There is no concern about that. It is absolutely okay for two seemingly opposing concepts to coexist, because my experience when I'm connecting with loved ones in spirit is often they, or certainly in the process of dying, often what they believe, except for those who don't believe, what they believe they will experience is what they experience as they cross over, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. And also, you know, when I do my live shows, you know, I always ask at the top of the show, or event, sorry, I don't want to call it a show.
I'm working on that too. I don't like that word.
But when I always ask people, you know, how many of you have had dreams of your loved ones that felt so vivid that you can recall exactly what your loved one was wearing and everything that they said to you, and it felt like, you know, those are visitations. We both know this.
Yes.
I think I've found at every event, at least 75% of the audience has had that experience.
Yes. And we're going to talk more about that when we come back from this break. Stay with me. I'm talking to Cindy Kazza, who is an evidential medium and a very, very interesting person. Stay with me.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold-Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news, Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on OM Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hello, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to I Am Wisdom here on Om Times Radio. I'm your host, Katrina Kavanagh, speaking with you today all the way from Australia, from sunny Australia. And right now it's Friday afternoon, 2 p.m., 2:33 to be exact. We're leading into summer, or it is officially summer here in Australia, which means here comes the heat, which I'm really, really looking forward to. I think in the Northern Hemisphere right now we're on Thursday evening. So thank you for listening. Now, the guest on my show today is Cindy Kazza, and Cindy Kazza is an evidential medium who's doing some really interesting exploratory work and research in the area of mediumship, the experience of mediumship and psychic ability in different cultures and religions. And she's doing a very special project at the moment in Indonesia, and that's what we were talking about. If you're finding this interview interesting and you would like to know more about Cindy Kazza, then you need to pop along to her website, which is www.mediumcindykazza.com. So that's mediumcindykazza.com. So pop along there and you'll find all about her touring date. She's touring extensively, it looks to me. I'm looking at that list. I mean, I know America's an enormous place, but it looks like a big list of places you're off to. She's touring extensively across the United States. And, you know, if you'd like to catch her somewhere close to you, jump online and have a look, because I really like the way she works. Probably because you work very similar to me, Cindy. That's probably why I like the way you it's like, of course you're great. Of course, because we're similar. But I'm really enjoying talking to you about your belief systems, because they're very similar to mine. So where were we? We were talking about, you know, your work in Indonesia, yeah? So where were we?
We left off where I was explaining how at the beginning of my events, I always ask how many people have very vivid dreams of their loved ones who have passed away. And, you know, we know their visitations as mediums. A lot of people don't know. They kind of know intuitively, but they don't know what it's called. So, I would say at least 75% of each audience, I'm not kidding, I'm not exaggerating, have had those experiences. And a lot of people, I work in the South, a lot of people are very Christian. Mm-hmm. And so when I say that's a visitation, those are your loved ones coming through to tell you they're okay. It's like they have this sense of relief. Mm-hmm. But really, in the reality, at that moment, during that moment in their life when they're having that experience, they're also acting as intermediaries between this world and the next world. They're having an experience of mediumship. So I'm really convinced, honestly, that it boils down to semantics. And if you go back and, you know, we know when you're reading the Bible or the Quran or any religious text, those are written many years ago. And a lot of those during the time of – it was during paganism where people were worshiping many, many gods, you know. Mm-hmm. And mediums were perceived as pagans or witches and all that stuff. So, you know, it's kind of like religion has to kind of change with the times. I think people need to kind of be more open-minded to these experiences, because I guarantee you almost every human being has had some sort of – mediumistic experience. They just are afraid to call it that. And I really want to open people's minds up to what is actually happening, and that this is a very natural thing that occurs within every human being, you know?
I agree completely. And you would find something like, you're obviously in the media, your public profile as a medium over there. And the thing that I found astounding was that when I was on the TV show, after I was on the TV show, the national TV show here in Australia, and then all the media stuff that followed, which was a huge blanket of, you know, the best kind of, you know, the print media, the magazine, top magazines in Australia, and the greatest radio spots. And there was just some really great coverage that, you know, so therefore it was very clear you couldn't escape it. If you knew me at all, then you knew that I was now, I don't love the word psychic, but psychic and medium. I've got a funny feeling about the word psyche, but that's another conversation. Anyway, and so what would happen for me is that I would go to family and social events where people knew me, and seemingly very conservative people who would never have disclosed this information, they get me in the corner at the party, and they then tell me, which was a nice change actually, because prior to that, you know, being a therapist, people would get me in the corner at the party and tell me their issues. But this was a nice change. So they would get me in the corner at the party and tell me about their experience, you know, when their auntie in spirit came through to them, or whatever it was, or they lived in a house and they saw the ghost or whatever that lived in, you know, the spirit that lived in that, well, that was attached to that property. Which, and again, that's another conversation. But anyway, so I agree with you. I believe that. You know, working in the medical field, in a hospital ER, once this information was out and I would come across my old colleagues, they would then tell me their own experience as well. And these are specialists and doctors and nurses who, you know, and obviously when I was standing in the ER and having my spiritual experiences, I certainly was not, you know, letting on. I wasn't letting the people know. I wasn't letting the family members know. I wasn't saying, I know your grandmother's just crossed or your wife just died, but I've got her here with me now. I mean, that was completely inappropriate. I would never have done that. That wasn't my role to do it. You know, professional boundaries were very important to me. But it didn't mean that it wasn't happening, and it doesn't mean that it's not happening, like you said, for nearly every single person on the planet, because every single person in my experience does have a story. If not a concrete story of I've seen someone or I've heard something, at least they've had a feeling or a flicker in the eye, or they've had a wondering, you know, about some aspect of their sensory experience, and they wondered whether that was someone in spirit. So it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Do you believe that everyone is a medium and everyone has the potential to be that way, or that this process is a gift?
Well, I like to say everybody can play the piano, but not everybody's going to be a concert pianist, right? So yes. I think that every human being has the ability to have mediumistic experiences. Do I believe every human being is going to be a professional medium? No. But I also think that because the idea or the concept of mediumship has been so taboo in many people's households that people are not raised to actually view these experiences as being completely natural.
Yes.
So
yes.
I almost wonder if, you know, in the future, if it became something where people were not afraid to talk about in their homes with their kids, then I think more and more people would be more developed intuitively, mediumistically, and all that good stuff. Do I think it's some people have a stronger ability than others? Yes. But I really believe in my heart that everybody has the ability to have these experiences. But again, like I said, everyone can play the piano. Not everybody's going to be a concert pianist. But also on the point of, I just want to add, with religion and mediumship, you know, I think that something I've really, really, what works for me now is, I think the misconception is some people feel if they go to a medium for advice or to connect with their loved ones, they feel that they're replacing God with the medium, and that is not true. Mm-hmm. I always strive at my events to say, look, I'm not God. I believe in God because I do, and I talk about God. But I think that the misconception is that some people think mediums are trying to take the place or play the role of God, and that is not true. At least for me, that's not true.
Me too.
And so I think actually saying that out loud to people, it gives a sense of relief too, because many, many people are religious and they're afraid to talk about mediumship. And I think it's important to stress, hey, look, none of us are God. We're not claiming to be God. Don't follow me. Like I'm saying, don't follow me. God's got a plan, but let me see if I can help you and to communicate with your loved ones who have passed away, you know?
Mm-hmm. It is really important. And I find that if you can raise, that is really important. And I think because for me, it's all, before I go on stage or sit down with a person, you know, in an individual sitting or reading, I always, as you do, open myself up and say, may I be of service to this person? Now, who am I saying that to? In my mind, I'm sending that up as a prayer or an intention to whatever that energy is that's greater than I am, that ensures that the connection is made, because it's certainly bigger than me. I'm not really doing anything other than opening myself up and saying, I'm here to be of service. I'm clearly meant to be doing this given the series of events that have occurred that have brought me to be in this position. So clearly this is meant to be part of my experience this time around. So here I am. I'm open, and I just hope that I can be of service tonight for that person or these people, you know. And so, of course, that is working alongside the energy that people refer to as God or whatever. So it's, yeah, but I think you're right. I think the fear is for some people that you are replacing, that you're replacing God. I guess I'm really curious because you reside down south in Nashville. And I was very excited to hear that because I did disclose to you in the conversation prior to this interview that I am not a TV watcher. I just don't have time for television. And I'm very selective if I ever do watch television, you know, what kind of content I watch, because I've had, you know, 22 years working in the area of trauma and human distress. So I'm very careful. I don't watch the news. I only watch comedies and very, very light drama. But there's something that has caught my attention is the Nashville series on over here. We have it on Netflix. So that has completely impacted on my capacity to produce work in the last 2 weeks. and you were just saying to me that you had some connection with some of the, or you knew of some of the cast members. So that's always a good sign. So I feel there's a big confirmation that we should be talking today. But being down there in the South, there is certainly a perception from little old Australia over here that the South of the United States is an area that's quite dominated by very strong religion. You know, there is the Bible Belt across there. So, and you're working in that area. So I'm curious about what that's like for you particularly.
Well, it's been fabulous. I mean, just in the sense that more people are open-minded to this work than what people think or assume.
Yes.
I have had a residency at this place called Zany's for almost 2 years now, where I do an event once a month. Mm-hmm. And it's been extremely well attended every month that I've been there for almost 2 years. And this is in Nashville. I also work in Birmingham, Alabama once a month. I go into Florida. I do Georgia. I do the Carolinas. And people are very open, and they're predominantly Christian. So I think the fact that I speak about God and religion at my events as well, I think it helps kind of break that barrier, which I'm trying to do a little bit by saying, look, I'm a Christian too. I believe in God too, but I also do this work and I don't think it's evil, you know?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Stay with us, everyone. It's such a good point that Cindy just made.
For Conscious Minds, OM Times.
Come heal yourself. What is healing? Healing is nothing but connecting to your all-knowing higher self that already has solutions to all your problems and is always there to guide you. Through this show, we help you to connect with that you are, and help you realize the innate potential you have to heal every aspect of your life. So come heal yourself every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern, with your host, Monica Goyal. Namaste.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
If you've ever said, I do want it all. I do want happiness. I do want love. And I do desire the happily ever after fairy tale life, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, for my internationally acclaimed show, Bridal Talk Radio. every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, where I'll bring you the top experts in the fields of communication, money, relationships, finance, pleasure, play, travel, sexuality, parenting, real estate, adventure, comfort, care, passion, and love.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, you're listening to I Am Wisdom here with Katrina Kavanagh on OM Times Radio. Welcome to the show. If you're just tuning in and you already missed the first three quarters of the show, so what I want you to know is that you can pick up the podcast of this show by visiting my Facebook page, which is Katrina Kavanagh, facebook.com/KatrinaKavanagh, or going to my website, katrinakavanagh.com, where you can find some links there as well to this show. I also have a podcast series commencing soon that is currently being produced by a wonderful radio producer here in Australia. So that will be starting very, very soon. And if you want more information about that, again, you'll need to pop along to my website, which is katrinakavanagh.com. So that's katrinakavanagh.com. If you would like to find me on social media, then my website is a great place to start, but I'm most active on Facebook and Twitter, and Facebook number one, then I would say Instagram, and then I would say Twitter. You know, being active on social media is certainly something that is an ongoing work in progress. But if you would like to connect with me there, I post a lot of stuff through my Facebook page, so I encourage you to come along there. The thing I would ask you is, if you're enjoying today's show, or you've been one of my listeners for a long time, I would ask that you hand the details across about my show to one person that you think that may benefit from listening to this show, because my intention is to be of service to people. And so obviously the more people that know about the work that I'm doing and the way I work with people and the kind of guests that I have on the show, the better, because after all, it's all about you. It's all about you. So today we have the wonderful Cindy Kazza on the line. And she's speaking to me all the way from Nashville in the United States. And Cindy is an evidential medium. And we've been having a wonderful conversation about the work of mediumship and evidential mediumship and the interplay between the process of mediumship and psychic ability, different cultures and religion. It's been a very, very interesting conversation. We're in the final few minutes of the show, and Cindy, something I noticed when I was, having a little wander around your website and looking at your events, I actually noticed that you have some events in comedy clubs, and it really stood out to me that you were doing events. I mean, it makes sense to me because in my events, there's a good amount of both for me. Once I get a microphone on, something happens to me and I become this person that cracks funnies. It's very interesting. It's amazing how it flows, there's humor and then there is, healing, humor and healing. But I am curious to hear what drew you to comedy clubs.
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, I wasn't really drawn to comedy clubs. What happened was I was working with a company who happened to own a lot of comedy clubs in the United States. And so they said, well, we have these venues. Why don't we just put you in there on the off nights? And I said, well, why not? It's a venue. The space is free, and I can get into these places to do mediumship. So really, I'm booked as a special event. Just the comedy club is the venue. But I've gotten a lot of slack from some of the people in the mediumship community, like, oh, she shouldn't be doing that. That's not spirit's work. And, I totally disagree. One, because, the comedy club is simply, it's a venue for me to work out of. And what I found so amazing about having the opportunity to work in these comedy clubs is that it caters to an entirely new demographic of people. Mm-hmm. People are extremely skeptical, which I appreciate and love. When I ask at the beginning of my events, how many of you have never seen a medium? I would say at every event, it's around 85%.
Wow.
People that have never seen a medium. And it also does, at these events, allow me to be myself, to express my personality, to laugh. I mean, laughter is such a great medicine. And I think it's important that we don't lose sight of that. And I think it's also important for mediums to remember that many, many people are afraid of mediumship. They don't understand it. They've never had the experience before. And, you know, a lot of people that are a little bit afraid or apprehensive tend to go to live events because they can hide with their friends or hang out, or the likelihood of them getting a message is, you know, it's the percentage isn't as high if you're in a room of 300 people and they want to just kind of check it out. And so I really believe by keeping a lighthearted approach, well, don't get me wrong, my evidence, I still try to bring through very strong evidence, and I'm not just telling jokes or swearing or doing things like that, but having a more lighthearted approach really can open the minds of people that were very afraid to have a mediumship experience before. So with all the slack I've kind of gotten in the community, like, you shouldn't be doing that, Cindy. That's not, you know, what we do. I totally disagree, because I feel like it's given me the opportunity to really, really reach a totally different audience and people from all over the U.S. and people, you know, and I go to Des Moines, I go to Kansas City, I'm going to Salt Lake City, I'm going all over the place. And I just feel really blessed and honored to have been able to get into the comedy clubs, because it's working and it's amazing, really. I feel honored to really be in these places. So I think it's important that mediums doing this work professionally be mindful of, you know, or mindful of how they can reach people. And it doesn't always have to be this super serious, you know, I can't tell a joke or I can't be lighthearted. You know, I think that we should really have a little bit of both tied into live events, because it really helps. It breaks the ice. It helps people lose that angst that they have, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I completely understand that because even as a therapist, sometimes we can be talking about the most distressing experience, you know? And even, in my experience at the hospital when I was in the ER and my job was to be present and support families around death and dying, at the moment of death and dying, it was basically working with death, basically. There were moments where the family members or myself would find a moment to, and I believe that those moments are spiritually driven, you know, that they come to us as a moment of relief, you know, in a very, very intense time. It's not, and to be honest, a lot of that for me is also, I feel channeling the energy of that creates an experience for the people in the room, whether it's at a point of crisis where someone they loved has, you know, died suddenly and unexpectedly, or whether it's at an event such as yours or mine, or for me as a therapist or as an individual, you know, reading with someone, there needs to be room for both. Well, I personally can't do it any other way. It's just who I am and the way my personality works. So I just have to trust that that's how it's meant to be for me, and the people that find their way to me, you know, that's what they're meant to be experiencing. And just the same for you. I mean, I think it's beautiful. It's wonderful that you're in comedy clubs across the States, and how phenomenal that it does give you access to a whole different demographic. So Cindy, it's been wonderful talking to you. I'm mindful we've got only a few more minutes to go. If someone wants to connect with you, now I'm noticing on your website that you're so busy you're not actually doing individual consultations at the moment. Is that correct?
It is correct, but I'm going to start doing individual readings in 2016. So I can do them over Skype, I can do them on the phone, I can do them in person. I just have been very, very busy, and I will have limited time. But in 2016, I will be opening up more private readings, yes.
Fantastic. So if people are wanting to get their name on the list for, you know, when you do open your books again, then the best place to go is the website, correct?
Yes, and you can email me through my website with your contact information, and then at the top of the year, I'll start getting all that together and responding to people and getting my list together. So absolutely, yeah.
Fantastic. And when you do your events, are you often on your own doing those events, or are you co-hosting sometimes with other mediums?
No, oftentimes I do the comedy clubs I do by myself normally. Sometimes, you know, I have a couple friends who are just getting started doing mediumship in the public setting, so I'll sometimes have them open for me so they can have the experience. But typically I do travel by myself. And actually sometimes I have comics open for me too, which is really an interesting combination that seems to be working well as well.
That's great. That's fantastic. Yeah. That's fantastic. That's wonderful. Well, look, I'm just so grateful that you came onto the show. I mean, our conversation today has been something that I think a lot of listeners wouldn't have expected. They would have expected that we would be talking about what it's like to connect with the afterlife, you know, what it feels like, what your early experiences were perhaps, you know, growing up and how it all came to be, because that is traditionally the kind of interview that occurs when you're talking as a medium in the media. But what I like about this interview is that we've been able to quickly guide through that very important area and move straight into this very, very special project that you're working on. How, if people are interested in getting more information about the project, the work you're doing, and this is a video series, is that right?
Well, it's what I've been doing is filming by myself to do short YouTube videos. There is one YouTube video on my, you can look, it's called Diary of a Medium. It's the first webisode that I've done. And there will be a series of webisodes to come as soon as they get edited. I've compiled so much footage, so that's in the process. Mm-hmm. But you can check out Diary of a Medium. If you go on YouTube, you should be able to type that in and find it. And it is from Indonesia. And the spiritual consultant in this episode is, his name is Ki Ageng Asmoyo, and he's fascinating. So check it out. And yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, thank you very much. Once again, if you're wanting to get information about Cindy, you need to go to her website, mediumcindykazza.com. If you're wanting to get some more information about, you know, the work that I'm doing, you just need to find me at katrinakavanagh.com. And on social media, predominantly at facebook.com/ Katrina Kavanagh. I'm also deciding that I'll be releasing a special rate for my consultations coming up into the new year. But until then, enjoy your week. Thank you, Cindy.
And thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Take care, everyone. Namaste.
Bye.